Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it's a Friday, and that means we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have 2.5 wonderful, glorious days of enjoyment. But for a lot of dogs and a lot of people, that means that their owners and their mommies and daddies are actually working another job. You know, we all assume that when we get a dog, we're going to be able to have that dog for like a long time. And I'm going to spend weekends with them. I'm going to spend weeknights with them. And it's okay that I work, you know, 8 or 10 hours a day because, you know, of course, my dog is going to be with me all weekend. Well, because of the economy and sometimes the way things happen, we don't always get to spend that time with our dogs. And especially when we have a dog with behavioral issues, it makes life really tough. Reason it becomes a problem is now we can't take the dog where we wanted to go. We got that dog to be our running buddy, but we've become a 4 a.m.er. We can't go out anymore and run when we wanted to because our dog is dog aggressive or people aggressive or child aggressive or animal aggressive. And that really takes all the fun out of it, in my opinion. I mean, I just literally got back home. And I'm very busy, as anybody who knows me knows. But, you know, I get to take my dogs out all the time, not just on weekends, not just sometimes, but whenever I want. And that's something that I want all of you to be able to do. I want you, sitting in your living room, sitting on and listening on a podcast, listening live, to be able to have that joy that you wanted when you got your dog. I can't tell you how many of my clients, before they met me and before I came over to help them or before one of our amazing team members of United Canine Professionals came to help them. Well, you know, a lot of people say, wow, you know, I got this dog. I live near a park. Can't go to the park anymore. Why can't you go to the park? Because your dog's dog aggressive and he doesn't get along with other animals. So now, instead of going to the park with your dog, which is what you got your dog for, suddenly, now you've got to go out by yourself, and that's no fun. It's never any fun to go do stuff by yourself. You got your dog because you wanted to have fun with him, but you can't have fun with him because he's dog aggressive or child aggressive or, you know, reactive to the geese at the pond, and, you know, that's really what today's show is going to be about, getting back to enjoying the time with your dog and really understanding on a much deeper level, why dogs do what dogs do. Remember, this isn't that your dog is trying to irritate you or make you angry. He doesn't want to stay home. He just is trying to do a job he thinks he's supposed to do. Now, why does he think that? Well, doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. I had a lady who called me and actually went to another trainer. I'm not a trainer. I'm a behaviorist. But went to several trainers and then decided that she was not going to have me come to the house, which is pretty unusual. Most people, you know, kind of know who I am. They're like, okay, you know, I know 6 people and they all told me to have you come. But this lady said, yeah, I'm going to go the training route again. So she did. Well, she spent several $1,000s in, I guess it was maybe about 2-month period since she had contacted me previously. And she spent all that money, and she just emailed me and said it didn't work, what the trainer said, and I think the dog's gotten worse. Now can you come and help us? Well, on the obviously, I want to help them. But now the dog not only has the reactivity it had before, but unfortunately, because this other trainer probably didn't know what he was doing, the dog now has additional issues. And those issues being he is now severely dog aggressive, has a bite history, and nobody can get near him, not even the owner. So it went from bad to worse, and pretty much that happened because people don't understand the difference between training and behavior. Now, when we train service dogs or our cortisol detection dogs or our cancer detection dogs, which only you can learn through United Canine Professionals or through Merlin's Kids, depending on the program. When people contact us, and the first thing they ask, and even clients will say, what kind of treats do I need to have? And I say, well, you're going to need to have coconut water, and you're also going to need to have gluten-free snacks. And they say, well, what do you mean gluten-free? I say, well, I'm gluten-free, so I need to have coconut water, because that's what I drink, and, you know, anything gluten-free. And they laugh, and they go, oh, no, no, I didn't mean for you. I meant for the dog, to train the dog. And I'm like, well, we don't need food and treats for the dog. We're not going to reward the dog for doing what we need him to do. It's not about that. It's not about, you know, making him do something and bribing him. We're just going to teach him what we want him to do because nobody's ever really taught him. He just doesn't know. So they laugh and they say, oh, well, okay. And then once I get to their house, and this is any client, doesn't even matter which specific one, everyone says the same thing. Did you give my dog a pill? What? My dog is never this good. My dog normally would have bitten you 3 or 4 times. Why isn't he biting you? Or my dog always jumps on everybody, but why isn't he jumping on you? I say, well, I'm doing something different. I'm not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Am I? What am I doing? I'm changing the dog's behavior naturally. I'm changing the way the dog thinks, the way the dog sees himself or herself in the human-dog pack. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be flipping dogs over and rolling them and, you know, doing all that. But what it does mean is dogs are dogs, and anybody who's foolhardy enough, I want to say dumb enough, but I won't say that even though I just did. I don't like to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it's very flawed logic. Because if you are trying to teach a dog something, teach a dog a new trick, and you want him to repeat that on operant conditioning, then yeah, you give him a cookie. But if you have a dog that you can't take out on a walk because the dog is so aggressive, you really think that throwing a cheese doodle in his face when he's being aggressive or lunging at another animal or trying to bite you is going to change his behavior? I mean, that's just... I'm sorry, it's just, like I said, foolhardy, ridiculous. So, you know, the goal here is to understand, why do dogs do what they do? They do it because somebody else is not in charge. And remember, if there's nobody, like I joke about, and this is my new example I kind of came up with a long time ago, but kind of revisited. If nobody's driving the school bus, your dog thinks he might have a learner's permit. He's probably going to try to drive the school bus. When is he going to stop trying to drive the school bus? When the bus driver says, sit down, kids, put your seatbelts on. I'm driving the bus. You don't have to be mean to him. You don't have to reward him and say, oh, I'll give you kids a cookie if you sit there. Your reward is you get to go home. Okay? It's not about bribing your dog or bribing your kids to do things. Some of it is behavior. And I'm not saying obedience doesn't work. Because for certain things, you know, about 85% of all dogs can actually be helped with some form of just simple, basic obedience from your local obedience trainer. But there's an awful lot that can't be. And that 15% of dogs is that 15% that I want to help and that our team at United Canine Professionals wants to help. Those are the dogs who are going to wind up euthanized or living in a shelter because somebody tried to do simple obedience or shock collars, God forbid, on a dog when the dog was just waiting to learn. We're teaching. Remember that, people. We're teaching the dog what we expect. Don't try to make him do something. Give him one option. Set him up for success so that when the dog faces that, he succeeds. Don't set him up to fail. You really think he needs that extra cookie? I call that obedience through obesity. Because there's an awful lot of dogs, and you'd say they're well-behaved, but they're really not. It's just that those dogs have been fed to death. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking dogs. We're talking about you people who are looking at this beautiful, beautiful weekend we're going to have and these gorgeous weekdays that we have. And all you wanted to do was get a wonderful dog that you would be able to enjoy the time with. Take him to the park. Take him to the dog park. Take him out for a long hike. All the wonderful things that most of us are able to do, and certainly I can do with all of my dogs. But the problem is, maybe you can't do that. Because unfortunately, you started living your life around the dog's behavior. You had a dog with a bad behavior, and you didn't know how to fix it. Well, instead of fixing it, you kind of become a 4 a.m.er. I should trademark this one. You know what a 4 a.m.er is? The person who wakes up at 4 a.m. to go take his dog out for a walk or jog. And the reason you go out and get up at 4 is because the joggers get up at 5. So all the joggers are out there with sometimes himself, sometimes another dog. And your dog isn't good with people or dogs. And that's really sad. It's actually extremely sad. We don't want you to have to live your life around your dog's behavior. I want your dog to fit into your life so that you're then able to go out at 9 o'clock or 10 or 11, according to your work schedule, and just go and enjoy yourself and enjoy this wonderful, well-behaved dog. But that's unfortunately not a real possibility for so many people. So how do we fix that? Well, first thing is, don't avoid the situation. Now, this does not mean take your aggressive 180-pound, you know, male, whatever breed of dog it is, to the dog park and go to the small dog section and hope that he doesn't eat the small dog. But what it means is the more you avoid it, the worse it's going to get. And that's a hard concept for most people to understand. What do we do when we see, oh, no, there's a dog coming. Oh, no, there's a person coming. Oh, my God, I better go the other way because this dog is going to go kill them. Or I don't want my dog to embarrass me. Oh, no, that's the neighbor. Or oh, that's that girl I like in 8B, assuming you're a guy or predisposed that way. You know, if you see and you're, let's say you're a young guy or a young lady and you see somebody of interest to you and you say, oh, no, they have a dog. I can't go. Well, you're going to change your whole life around your dog's behavior. Learn how to change it. Now, one of the things, if your dog is aggressive at all or has any kind of severe dominance, I don't want you to try it at home. We do have people in about 38 states and 10 countries. So even if you're overseas, we have quite a few people in other countries who can come and help you. We have a team of certified natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists all over the country. And in 10 other countries. So wherever you live, call us on our 800 number. 800 numbers are free. Remember, it's free. And we'll even answer your questions for free. So it's 855 and then 459-7767. That's 855-459-7767. And if you can't remember it, it's 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS. Or you can go onto our website at www.unitedk9professionals.com. And there's a contact and lead form. You can actually ask for help, and we will give you help for free. If we need to come out and help you and work with you and your dog, then we'll do it. But we can help you a lot on the phone also. Big thing. is get a copy of my book. I wrote it. It's a really wonderful book, and I put so much more into it than I put into my last one, because my last one was basically just, you know, written for the average person in middle America. And a lot of people said to me, Janice, you know, in class you talk about genetics, you talk about DNA, you talk about developmental phases. We would love to, you know, hear more about it. So I included a lot about F1, F2, F3, you know, different generations. If you don't know what that means, you need to read my book. And it's a whopping $9.99. The reason I made it cheap again, and it's cheap because I want people to be able to access it and get it online. We've sold thousands and thousands of copies already, amazingly, very quickly. But one of the things and the reasons that I wanted it to be affordable to everyone is that I've got three separate rescues and a number of other smaller rescues, probably about 10,000 dogs a year that go through these rescues. And I wanted to make sure, because they all say that you have to, it's like a required reading in order to adopt a dog from them. So I didn't want people to have to, you know, pay $25, $30 for a book. That's why it's down there. But it is a phenomenal book. It will help you so much. It'll change the way you think about your dog and dogs in general. It's just so filled with great stuff. Some of it's scientific. Yes, you can skip that for those of you who failed Bio 101, but it is a really fascinating book. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to start talking about specific ways how to handle that, how to kind of change the way your dog thinks by changing the way you think and act. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're going to talk about how to fix a behavior. Today's behavior is, what do you do when you've got especially a big dog or a really little yappy dog who is embarrassing you when you're outside on a walk or really anywhere? I mean, we've all seen it, you know, dogs that are walking their owners, dogs that are out ahead leading. And I always get, because I'm pretty short and little and tiny and petite, probably all of 115 pounds and 5'3". And, you know, a lot of times what happens, people go, oh, yeah, those dogs are walking you. Actually, no, they're all on slip leads, and five or six of these 100-pound dogs are walking calmly beside me and behind me, because there's a limit to how many besides there are when you have five or 600-pound dogs with you. But I've seen it, and I'm sure you've all seen, where, you know, you see an owner who's getting dragged, even by, like, a Maltese. I saw a lady being dragged by a Chihuahua that couldn't have weighed more than 2 or 3 pounds. And it was hilarious. And, you know, the lady was, like, looking at me with my two Ridgebacks that I had at the time. I believe I know it was in Jersey City. I believe it was actually Savannah and Romeo. And here I am walking these two gigantic Ridgebacks on slip leads with them following like puppies behind me. And this poor lady's got this Chihuahua or Chihuahua Min Pin mix, cute as a button, that literally is dragging her towards my dogs. And she's like, oh, my God, you know, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I said, no, 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 don't worry, I'm a behaviorist. Let me give you my card. Gave her my card, and it was like 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to see her when I get back from our North Carolina trip. But, you know, it's embarrassing. I mean, who really in this world wants to feel embarrassed to be able to take your own dog out? And that's unfortunately what happens with a lot of people. So what's the biggest mistake, one single biggest mistake that I've ever heard? Well, the one that keeps repeating itself is you have a problem, the dog is barking, he's out of control, the other lady is screaming, oh my God, the dogs are going to fight, or whatever you hear going on. And now what do? You run the other way. Well, obviously we want to avoid, we don't want to have a fight. But what that means is that you're telling your dog either that you're a chicken and you're going to run the other way. Well, that means you're not a very good leader, so how is he supposed to trust you to be the leader when, you know, he's not, you know, when he's not, you know, being protected? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that you can do is you stay there. Well, then you want to fight? Just remember, Bio 101, fight, flight, avoid, or submit. It's that simple, fight, flight, avoid, or submit. Well, are you going to fight? You got a 3-pound Chihuahua. Are you really going to fight my two Ridgebacks? I don't think so. My Ridgebacks would probably get eaten. Well, if you try to hurt me, it'd be another story. But, you know, Ridgebacks are pretty awesome dogs. They really understand the energy of the person. And if you try to hurt me or them, you know, maybe they would do something. But they are so well-behaved and so easy to deal with that, you know, I can have 100 of them in here because they're all perfect. And that's one of the biggest problems, I think, is that people change their behavior to live their behavior around their dog's behavior. Don't change your life. That's crazy. So let's say you've got the dog who's being the little bit of a knucklehead, and he's out there, and he's barking like heck at everybody passing by. Well, you can always say, oh, I'm sorry, he's a recent rescue. I'm trying to teach him. He was abandoned and abused. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay, no problem. Even if it's not maybe quite 100% true, because you're embarrassed already. Now, if you rescue a dog, and just imagine if you rescued a dog and then you take him out, you don't know that he's doing that. Or it's a puppy, and you don't know he's doing that. And suddenly you have a problem. Well, you can call us at United Canine Professionals, or you can get the book, or you can do a little bit of your own work, so you don't need me or the book, and you can start realizing, change the way you're looking at it. Instead of you thinking, oh, this is so embarrassing, oh my gosh, you know, this is just terrible, and this is so embarrassing, oh my gosh, I can't believe, these people are going to think I'm crazy, they're going to think I'm terrible to my dog, I'm a terrible owner. And the more you beat yourself up, the weaker your energy gets, and the more your dog is going to see you as being a weak or unstable leader. That is not what he needs. So remember, fight, you can fight, really. You can run, flight, you can flee. You can avoid. Ah, there you go. Or you can submit. Well, my dogs are never going to see me submit. I won't submit to a person, and I certainly won't submit to a dog. So, if you're going to avoid, there are different ways to avoid. First way to avoid is to make a loop. You don't want to just turn and pivot and go the other way. That's fleeing. That's flight. What you want to do is pretend that you are actually out there looking for food, right? You were out hunting, and you were looking for an antelope, and you suddenly think you may see him. The antelope is the opposite direction. So you're going to make a loop, like a half circle, but don't look at your dog. Look wherever you're going to go to chase the antelope. So let's say you're coming down a one-way street and you're walking. Obviously, if you're in a car, that doesn't hold true. But if you're walking down a one-way street and you're on the left side of the street, so as you're walking down the left side of the street and you see a dog coming up from the opposite direction, don't pivot and stay on the left side of the street and just, you know, like you're hightailing it out of there. Instead, what I want you to do is loop around, make sure you check for no traffic, loop around to the right side of the street and go the opposite direction. So you're actually like a hairpin turn, but not that sharp. So this way, and instead of looking at the dog coming towards you, you're going to look for the antelope. This is not about, having you running away from another dog. It's about how to teach your dog that you saw something more important that he may not have even have seen. But the problem is that if you hightail it out of there and you run away and you don't at least go back to that area or, you know, meet other dogs, he's going to start to think that he's big, bad, scary dog. And that, you know, you have to make him go away because he's so big and bad. It's the same exact thing that happens when people have the mailman or FedEx, UPS, or postal service guys who come, or Amazon, wherever. You know, we have these delivery people come. Well, what do you think your dog thinks? It's the same thing as when you're walking outside. Your dog looks and goes, there's somebody trying to come and hurt my family. I'm not going to allow it. So what am I going to do? I am going to go the opposite. I'm going to chase him away. I'm going to bark like crazy. I'm going to try to make him run away. And as he runs away, I'm going to keep barking to make sure he doesn't come back. So when you yell at your dog and go, you know, Fido, knock it off, cut it out, shut up, you think your dog thinks that you're telling him to be quiet because it's okay? Or you say, it's okay, Fido. It's only the mailman. He comes every single day to bring us our big, fat checks. No, he comes to bring us our big, fat bills every day. Yeah, maybe we should let the dog chase him away. Unfortunately, that wouldn't change anything. But honestly, when somebody comes up and comes towards your door or towards you when you're on a walk, your dog is going into protector mode. He wants to protect you from the impending oncoming danger. So in a home or out on a walk or on a trail, when he feels that there's danger, or stranger danger, that you're going to have now this dog who starts saying, ah, I'm going to provide and protect. I'm going to take care of my owner. I'm going to be a good boy and provide for him, protect him. So when you have the mailman coming up, what does the mailman do? He tries to break in, remember, from a dog's viewpoint. Think like a dog. The same person comes up every single day, except Sunday, and he tries to break into your house and steal all your stuff and hurt everybody inside because that's what it looks like to a dog, right? And what happens? Well, obviously, you either are going to yell at him or you're going to do nothing. You're going to go one end or the other. Some people throw things. Some people use shock collars. All you've got to do is put the dog behind you. You look out the door, or in the case of walking, put the dog physically behind you. If he's on a gentle leader or if he's on a slip lead, you can literally just bring him behind you, and you go between the danger and the dog. If you physically put your body between the dog and the danger, the dog is going to realize very quickly that, oh, my mommy is protecting me because I was trying to get between her and the scary thing, but instead now mommy put herself between me and the scary thing, so I may not be a leader. And it's kind of funny, but it's like you might be a redneck if, you might be a leader if you go between me and the danger, if you can eat whenever you want, if you can sit wherever you want, if you can growl and move other people and pack members around, you may be a leader if. Well, that's what your dog thinks. Well, I'm here to change that. I'm here to teach you how to change your dog's behavior naturally in a way the dog understands because he's a dog. She's a dog. Dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. So we're going to let you go for a moment, and you're going to come right back for our next segment, so stay tuned.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about how to prevent your dog, or fix your dog if he's already got the behavior, prevent the dog from developing behaviors that can be set off by dogs coming or people coming at you or behind you. Now, when this really becomes an issue, it's not so much for those of us who live in a country, or live you know, in an area that's kind of suburban, because there's always another street you can go on. But what do you do when you live in New York City? When you live in New York City, it's a whole other thing. So if you live in New York and now you are in an elevator building and you're on whatever floor, 10th floor, 8th floor, you're obviously not going to start walking down 10 flights of stairs all the time, although I've certainly seen that happen enough. That you're going to start by trying to change and live your life around your dog's behavior. Telling it it's going to happen. It's just the way it is. So instead of that, practice when you know there aren't a lot of people there. And this is one of the things I do with an elevator. Don't always assume that the dog has to go into the elevator. Sometimes just walk down the hallway. And it's the same thing with a mailman. It's the same thing with another dog. Whatever the distraction is, don't say, oh, but you're talking about that in the city. I live in the country. That doesn't help. It's the same thing. The dog feels he has to protect. How do you teach your dog not to protect you besides, you know, getting my book and, you know, maybe having one of our United Canine Professionals team members come to you? But a good start is to walk past it. So if you can have somebody who has a stable, calm dog who will just kind of keep the dog there, and you're going to learn a little bit more about this in the book, but there's a threshold. There's a little spot, and it could be 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet, 100 feet, 1,000 feet, that if that dog sees something or someone from that far away, he doesn't react. But he hits a certain place, and it could be 400 feet, it could be 40 feet, it could be 4 feet, it could be 4 inches. If you get within that threshold, suddenly the dog decides that he is in charge, he is going to provide and protect, and now we've got a Donnybrook. So you're going to ask somebody to please either stay there or have that person walk back and forth. But what I don't want you to do is all sit and stare at the dog. If you're staring at the dog or the distraction, that's kind of like Jerry Springer, right? Hold me back, hold me back. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you, the baby mama's baby daddy's baby mama's baby cousin's baby mama. And, you know, suddenly you have this whole, you know, Donnybrook. The reason that happens is the excitement led to dominant behaviors. The dominant behaviors led to the aggression. So instead of running away and go, oh, God, I hope that there's nobody there. I'm going to get up at 3:30 because Janice just told everybody that the big, bad, scary dogs get up at 4. My dog's worse than any of them. I better get up at 3:30 and take my dog for a walk. That's what people do. It's crazy. So reading the book is definitely going to help you, but just think and change the way you're thinking. Think like a dog. When you tell the dog, it's okay, Fluffy, it's okay, it's only the burglar alarm, you're saying to him, it's okay, Fluffy, to be afraid of the burglar alarm. If you look at something outside, your dog is barking or he's barking at another dog, and you pet him and you tell him, it's okay, it's only Mrs. Smith across the road. She's got little Jakey. He's such a nice little dog. He's so well behaved. He's really fat, but that's okay. She throws cookies at him all the time. So he the rolls of fat around his neck prevent him from seeing, because he's a pug. So now all the wrinkles come right over his forehead. He can't even see. So that's where we have problems. But change the way you're thinking. Instead of thinking like a human and saying, oh, but if I tell him it's okay, he'll associate it's okay with the fact that it's okay for him, you know, to be there and that dog isn't going to hurt him. No, you're thinking like a human. Think like a dog. If you think like a dog, what's going to happen? When you think like a dog, suddenly the dog is going to start acting like a dog. You can change his behavior naturally and in a very, very simple manner by just following what's in the book. And I talk about it every week. You don't have to get the book. But it is a really great compendium of my techniques. It's not certainly everything, because I wouldn't be able to write that down if I had 10 lifetimes. But, you know, it does have a lot about it. It has a lot about genetics, and it'll explain this. There's a chapter in there called New Dog Meet and Greet. And what that is exactly what I'm talking about, where it tells you where to put the dog, where to put the humans, and how to set things up for success so that your dog succeeds. Just remember, if you keep setting your dog up for failure, he's going to fail. If you set him up for success, he's going to succeed. It's just that simple. Same thing as your kids. So once you've kind of mastered the concept of don't run away from stuff, it's more than your energy changing. Think about what your dog feels when you go, oh, no, there's a dog coming right away. Man, if I lived with you, I would hate that, because that's a lot of stress. That's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, don't go there. Oh, my Lord, please. That's like a micromanaging, nagging parent or wife. I don't have a nagging wife. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because whoever is in your life, whoever is nagging, you want to get away from them. So if you keep, you know, staring at your dog, what are you doing? You're telling your dog, hey, I'm watching you because I want to see what you're going to do. Well, why do I care what you're doing? Because you're the leader. But if the dog is watching you and waiting to see what you do, then you become the leader. That's why I tell you, it's not that I say to my clients, you know, and my students, hundreds of them, that, you know, oh, don't look at your dog ever, because people say, when can I look at my dog? I mean, look at your dog whenever you want. You just don't want to look at your dog in those moments that you're correcting him. And you also don't want to look at the dog when there's a bad behavior, because then you're waiting to see what he's going to do. Dogs are very positional. My word created it, not in the dictionary, but it's going to, great explanation is, dogs are the do as I do, not as I say animals, and we are the do as I say, not as I do humans. So when a dog comes up and you think that the dog is, you know, is watching you because he's looking up at you, but you're not looking at him, that's, I call that checking in. That's great. When the dog is checking in with you, that means that he's accepted the fact that he's not in charge, that somebody else is in charge, and that is beautiful. That's what I live with. Once you have the dog actually caring about what you do and where you are and where you're going, that's when you start building more of a connection with your dog. You start building that bond of trust and love, and you start really understanding why your dog has been doing what he's doing. He's not doing it to aggravate you. He's not doing it to be mean or piss you off. He's doing it because he's a dog. And in the dog's world, there's either you're the leader or you're the follower. That's it. You're either it or you're not it. You're either the president of the United States, you're God, and or you're the follower of the United President of the United States. You're either it or you're not. You own the company, you don't own the company. And if you own the company, then you have the responsibilities of providing and protecting. If you're a follower, if you work for the company, you work for the man, you're going to get a paycheck, but you're probably never going to make as much, but you're not taking the chances. The leaders take chances. The leaders are responsible for providing and protecting. All right, stay tuned. There's only one more segment. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, as promised, we're going to be teaching you a couple of more things this last segment, and then we're going to go to our question of the day, which I will do shortly. My key information from today's lesson, folks, is to understand not to run from a challenge, but if you need to avoid, how to avoid. And that's what's so important. If you see something, you run, of course that's going to be your natural instinct. But especially if your dog's on a leash, the other person's dog is on a leash, they're holding the dog, try not to freak out because your energy affects your dog's behavior the same way that your energy affects your dog's behavior. So if the first thing you do is grab that leash really tight, oh my God, he's going to run at that dog. And now the second thing you do is staring at the dog. The third thing you do is you let the dog get between you and the danger. And now you're crying or screaming or carrying on. Well, like, what do you think the dog thinks? I would think that you were an out-of-control toddler who needed to have me take care of you. And I would jump in front between you and the scary, dangerous person or thing or animal. And I would make sure I would put myself between you positionally and the dog or scary thing so that I was able to provide and protect. And what is your dog doing? That's exactly what he's doing or she's doing. Why do you think dogs bite people when they come in the front door? Why do you think some dogs bite people or other animals when they're leaving? That's a whole thing for another day. But I want to make sure we get our question in today. This is another great question. This is from someone in Colorado. And His grammar wasn't the greatest, but I'm going to try to get through it anyway. He's asking, he has a 2-year-old Australian cattle dog mix. He's not sure what else it's mixed with. The dog has been extremely reactive to his two cats, but in the previous foster, the previous foster had cats. So now he's wondering why his dog, his newly adopted dog, is reacting to his two cats when it didn't react to the previous foster's two cats or three cats. Doesn't say how many cats the previous foster had. Maybe the previous foster had so many cats that the dog was so outnumbered that he just behaved. But it is a very valid question. Why do dogs behave differently for different people? Well, I've got a lovely client who's one of my favorite clients. They're awesome people. Every time I go back for a follow-up to try to catch this dog doing what he does with them, the dog is so perfectly behaved. I mean, he's just literally perfect. So, you know, she finally said to me after the second follow-up, she said, you know, every time you're here, the dog is perfect. You're around, and my dog is perfect. So can you do FaceTime with me? And literally that's how we did our last follow-up, because then the dog didn't really know I was on. But they were able to do what the dog needed to be done, and they're doing great now. So that's very good. But talking about the cat issue, what do you do when your dog's prey drive is so intense that, you know, it's really hard to control them? Whether it's a little dog, it's a squirrel, it's a cat, it's a bunny, it's a chipmunk, it's a mouse, it's a rat, it's a little brother or a little child. If the dog thinks that he's in charge, then it's very black and white that if you're in charge, then you make the rules. If you own the place, you get to make the rules for the place. If you don't own the place, then you always have to be beholden to somebody else who is the owner or who does have the place, and it is their responsibility to be in charge. So one of the main things that I see that are big errors is that people ask the dog too much too soon. That doesn't mean you can't take the dog out, but let the dog, especially a new dog that you've just rescued, let him be around your family. Don't have your kids crawling all over the dog. Don't have your cats out the very first day. And if you do, have the dog on a leash or have the dog in, you know, in an area where you don't have to worry about it. Remember, dogs can take up to 2 months. That's called the honeymoon period. In order for them to become complacent and become kind of comfortable where they know, like, I don't think I'm leaving here. This is kind of good here. I like it. But once the dog starts getting comfortable with you, that's actually when you have the problem. Because unfortunately, because the dog is, you know, is kind of looking at things and summing everyone up, and if you happen to be in a negative energy, in a bad energy, or weak, or anxious, or frustrated, or nervous, or fearful, whatever, if you are putting out that energy, the dogs are not going to follow you. Remember, dogs will not follow an unstable leader. People will, but dogs won't. So again, so important to make sure that, you know, you're not teaching the dog inadvertently without realizing it what you didn't want. So when people say, oh, you know, my dog is, you know, chasing the cat. Well, if you can get the dog to smell the cat, that's the best thing. That's where you can do the paper towel trick that I tell you about in my book. And well, oh, the book's name, sorry, I just have somebody who actually text messaged me. The name of the book is Shh Happens, S-H-H-H Happens, Dog Behavior 101 by Janice Wolf. Well, Shh Happens, because it does. So what do you do when your dog is chasing another animal? He has a high prey drive. That doesn't mean you need to give the dog up. What it does mean, though, is that when you are trying to have things that are going to run, stay still, be safe for yourself, because your cats, if the dog is cat aggressive or chases cats, those cats are going to scratch you up worse than a dog's going to bite your cat. The best thing to do, though, is to have someone from UKP, United Canine Professionals, there with you to help and guide you through. Now, can I just tell you, okay, just do this and this, and spin around three times and face Mecca and then bow and pray. And then after you do that, put on a yarmulke and then face east again. But, you know, make sure you're bowing enough. And then I say, or you can face the west, or you can face Australia, or you can face New Zealand. It's crazy the things people come up with, not religious-wise, but just crazy the habits and things that people go through. But if the dog is chasing cats, chances are the dog is, A, trying to smell the cat. So I would take a paper towel, put it, you know, kind of wipe it all over the cats, the dogs, the kids, you. Take different ones so it doesn't get gross. No armpits, please. And put that scent, all those rags, all those paper towels, into one bag. Over a little bit of time, within a few hours, all of those scents are going to start mixing. And when they start mixing, what is that going to cause? That is going to cause a very nice combination of a bunch of people's and animal smells. Now, if you're the first one to eat, if you were in the wild, you were the first one to eat, the only smell on that food would be the animal itself. If you're the second person or animal to eat, the first person's smell scent would be on plus the animal. If you're the fifth person, there'd be four smells plus the animal. If you're the hundredth person, there'd be 99 people and dogs before you. So that's a very, very handy little trick. The other portion of that is to make sure that you repeat that, stage it, set it up in that location if you can, and do it a few times until the dog doesn't react. Unfortunately, I can't believe it. We are all out of time again. But please join us again next week. You can always get us on www.unitedk9professionals.com. You can contact me at janice@unitedk9professionals.com, 855 844-K9-PROS. Merlin's Kids, 855-HI-WYATT, 855-HI-WYATT, or www.merlinskids.org. I thank you so much for spending your afternoon or evening with us, and we will see you next week. Have a great, happy, healthy week, and enjoy the sun.